Praise be Jesus and Mary. Now, today we celebrate the memorial of a Franciscan tertiary who many women can relate to as far as concerns the first half of her life and who we are all called to imitate as regards the second half of her life. We're speaking, of course, of St. Margaret of Cortona, born in 1247 in Lavignano, which is a province of Perugia in central Italy. And she died at the age of 49 or 50 on February 22nd, 1297, in the nearby town of Cortona. Now, I said that many women can relate today to the first part of St. Margaret's life. Growing up, her parents were simple people. They were farmers, and her mom died when she was 8 years old. Her dad remarried, but unfortunately, her new stepmom treated her, well, like a stepmom. She was jealous and envious of Margaret and hostile towards her, who was an attractive little girl, but who was also very sensitive. In this unhappy atmosphere, Margaret grew up starved for affection. So at 18 years old, she did what a lot of teenage girls today do or would at least like to do. She left home for a man who she found whom she could cling to, someone that would love her. A few miles away from her hometown, she found this person, a noble young man named Arsenio, who enticed her with promises of marriage, but who was not a man of character nor a man of integrity. Arsenio was a nobleman in the material sense, meaning that he had status and he had money, but unfortunately he was not noble in the eyes of God. Like many young people in our day, the two lived together. They lived in sin for 9 years and even had a child out of wedlock. In this state of enmity toward God, and we have to remember that whenever we are engaged in sexual activity outside of marriage, we are essentially living as enemies of God. In that state, Margaret, not yet a saint, of course, was given over also to vanity, as many women, unfortunately, are. However, she did have some good qualities. She had a generous heart, especially towards the suffering and those who were poor. And she felt within her that something just wasn't right about her life at this point. She at times felt the desire to just get away from it all and dedicate herself to a life of prayer and penance, even while she was living in this state. And as the mistress of Arsenio, she would salute noblemen and common people alike on the streets, in the streets of the town where she was living, called Montepulciano. But she would say to herself at the same time, if only they knew me, if only they knew what a sinner I am, they wouldn't even acknowledge me at all. One day her friends asked her a bit humorously, what would ever become of vain Margaret? And she said this. She said, there'll come a time when you'll call me a saint, and you'll be visiting me with pilgrim staffs and purses and bags slung around your shoulders like the pilgrims use when they visit holy places. Now, whether she said this jokingly or not, we're not sure, but two things we are sure of. One, she said it while she was still living in a state of sin, like many young people who are living in our day. And two, what she said was, in fact, a prophecy. Now, after 9 years of what we call dishonest living, one day her lover was actually assassinated. And guess who found him? A little dog led Margaret into the woods, and there at the foot of an oak tree, she found his dead body. And Margaret wept. She wept bitter tears of sorrow, and she wept bitter tears of contrition at the same time. She left the castle in which she was living in Montepulciano, and with her little boy she returned home, hoping to be welcomed back into her family. But at home in Lavignano, the stepmother continued to play the part of the wicked stepmother, and she had her kicked out. And so Margaret went to the nearby town of Cortona and was welcomed by the only type of people who would welcome such an unhappy person. Who are they? The Franciscans. Now, at this point, we end the life of the Margaret that many young people today can relate to. But there, at Cortona, began the life of the Margaret that we are all called to imitate and to venerate as she herself half jokingly once said and prophesied to her friends while she was still vain Margaret. And we know that only Jesus can turn vain Margaret into Saint Margaret. After looking for love and fulfillment in the hands of a wealthy, untrustworthy man, Margaret found that love and that fulfillment in the arms of the one whose wealth is found in giving, in poverty, and in penance. She found that love and fulfillment in the arms of the one who had been crucified for her sins, proving that his love was trustworthy and true, not here today and gone tomorrow. At Cortona, Margaret began to search for solitude. She began avoiding worldly women and began associating with herself with more religious people. Her confessor and biographer, Fra Giunta Bevignati, said that she began to find more joy at this time in depriving herself of bodily comforts than she would have found if she had been raised to the imperial throne, she said. She found some work as a midwife for the noble women of Cortona, and that compassion for the poor and the afflicted, which she had even while she was living in sin, now grew to a truly maternal compassion and love. She gave away whatever she could to the poor and the needy, leaving hardly enough for herself to live on. Now at Cortona, she often went to the oratory of the Franciscans early in the morning and would remain there for hours, absorbed in prayer. She would pass the night in prayer and tears, meditating on the Passion of our Lord. And after 3 years, she was actually admitted into the Franciscan order as a tertiary. At that time, she continued to dedicate herself to works of charity, especially visiting the sick. And with the women who had given her hospitality, she actually founded a hospital called Casa Santa Maria della Misericordia, which is still in existence today. As a penitent of St. Francis, St. Margaret fasted rigorously. She used the discipline very forcefully. She slept on rigid tables and on the bare earth, using only a pillow, a piece of wood or stone. And like her holy father, St. Francis, St. Margaret was also obedient, as all of the saints are. No true saint is disobedient, and no disobedient religious can truly ever be a saint. Margaret told her confessor that she wanted to return to Montepulciano as a penitent, but he told her not to because he judged it imprudent, and she obeyed. She wanted to cut and deform her still very beautiful face, she told him, thinking that it was a cause of sin for men, and because she was still very attractive. Her confessor forbade her to do so, and Margaret obeyed. She did tell her confessor that she was still envious of certain people. Who? Well, she said she was envious of the sick, the beggars, the afflicted, and the hungry. She told her confessor that she would happily take all their pains upon herself if it could free them from their oppression. And there was another thing that she actually told her confessor as well. She said that Jesus had begun speaking to her, that he had been speaking to her for a little while. Her confessor had her tell him everything, and he wrote it all down. There is a biography on St. Margaret written by her confessor, Friar Giunta. At the beginning of her conversion, when she began making supplication to our Lord, our Lord asked her this. He said, "What do you want, poor little one?" She replied, "There's nothing else I want or that I'm searching for than for you, my Lord Jesus." And Jesus would continue to speak to her. He once told her this. He said, "You're not yet called daughter because you're still a daughter of sin. Once you've made a general confession and been completely liberated from your sins," he said, "then I will place you among the number of those who are called daughters." And Margaret asked our Lord to call to her mind all the sins of her past which she hadn't confessed, even the smallest disordered thought which she had committed. And she made her general confession, after which she received our Lord in Holy Communion and finally heard our Lord call her his daughter. Our Lord spoke to her often in prayer, and her soul became so purified to the point that her thinking that it would be impossible to find someone in the world more miserable than she was, and that she even thought it was impossible to find anyone in the world who was capable of offending the infinitely good God. Only someone with a heart profoundly purified could reason in such a way. Our Lord told her, among other things, that she enjoyed three great manifestations of God's grace. What are these manifestations? One, a fear of God, a fear of offending him, superior to any other fear. Two, contrition and sorrow for all of her sins. And three, a very humble consideration for herself. All three being signs of the grace of God in a soul that he has purified. Yes, St. Margaret became profoundly humble. She checked every interior impulse of pride and every exterior impulse of vainglory. She could do this because she had entered into a truly familiar relationship with our Lord, talking with him as one talks with a dear and beloved friend. She looked for him in everything, and she loved him in everything, so much so that Jesus told her that he had granted her more grace than he had granted to any other woman who was alive on the earth at that time. And he even called her the third light of the Franciscan orders, after St. Francis and St. Clare. And of course, St. Margaret was tempted by the devil, as we all are. She was accused by him of exaggeration with her penances. And she replied candidly to that, "You're neither the one who created nor redeemed man, and you're certainly not the one to guide him either." She wouldn't listen to the devil. The devil also tempted her to vainglory. He began to whisper to her how she was highly favored by God, how famous she had become among the persons of all social classes, all in an effort to make her become self-satisfied and proud. And how did Margaret respond to this? Well, upon hearing these temptations in the silence of the night in Cortona, she got up and opened the door of her poor dwelling where she was living, and she began shouting out loud, "Get up, people of Cortona, get up and without delay throw me out of your city. I am the sinner who in many ways have sinned against God and against you." And then she did something which most people would never do. With profound tears and humility, she began enumerating her sins one after another out loud to everyone who was waking up in the city. And the devil, at such display of humility, did the only thing that he could do. He fled. He ran away. Among other things, Jesus told her that he had made her, St. Margaret, a light to the world. He once said to her this, and we'll close with this. He said, "You, because of your humility, asked me to not be so inclined to speak with you. I tell you, however, that I will be exalted by those who look on the examples of your life and that which my gifts have operated in you. Even those who now persist in their sins, those who despise me, disparage me, and blaspheme me, will desire to imitate your conduct. You will be the one who causes them to return to themselves, to look inward into their souls with a humble and contrite heart, and to recognize me as the immense and eternal God. They will love me with strong impulses of love. They will serve me devotedly and assiduously, and without tiring, they will praise me. It will be because of you that many who now are deceived and do not know what it means to desire me will have their minds enlightened by the joy that resides in me, and will be pervaded by a new desire to search for me with the greatest affliction and longing," our Lord told St. Margaret. Now, there are many other things that we could say about her life, including the revelations she received, the miracles and cures that she worked, the extraordinary penances that she embraced. However, I think what's most important is just to remember here to present her as someone who can be a model for those, especially young people today, who have fallen away from the faith, and ask her to intercede for the millions of baptized Catholics who are cohabiting, who are living in sin, who are living lives which are not pleasing to God, as she herself once lived and experienced. St. Margaret's called upon as the patron of a number of things. She's the patron of the falsely accused, the homeless, the orphans, the insane, those who suffer mental illness, midwives, penitent women, single mothers, people ridiculed for their piety, reformed prostitutes, and those suffering sexual temptation. So let's turn to St. Margaret and ask her to heal and convert many sinners in our day, as she herself did in her own day in her little town of central Italy. Praise be Jesus and Mary.